Welcome to another edition of the Padre Island Podcast. We are still in the Easter season, still pretty early on in the Easter season. Ready for the third Sunday of Easter, April 19th, 2026. Passage Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" He said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. For a town that close to Jerusalem, it's odd that we don't hear about it more often. I can't think of any other passage where Emmaus is mentioned other than right here. Only 7 miles from Jerusalem. You know, and if they're walking 3.5 miles an hour, it's going to take them 2 hours to get there unless they take breaks along the way. And they at least stopped at one point when Jesus came up to them and they didn't know it was Jesus. And let's see, it says they stopped and looked downcast. What is it that stopped them in their tracks? It's Jesus asking them the question, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" And the way that they responded suggests that this was a bit of a trigger for them, that they assume everybody knows about this and everyone's on edge and can't help but be high-strung about the Lord Jesus being crucified just the previous Friday. And so they react in such a way that shows that they're really wrestling with this. Are you the only one who doesn't know about what happened in Jerusalem? Are you the only one? You know, just the way it's worded has a little bit of an edge to it right there. Because,
you know, if somebody was calm and they said, hey, what are you talking about? You might say, well, none of your business. Or, you know, you give a little summary. You know we're talking about sports, or we're talking about a book I'm reading, or the next movie coming out, whatever the topic is. But when you say, are you the only one? You know, it has a little bit of a bite to it. Because they could have just said, we're talking about Jesus. You know, and given the person a chance to ask another question. And then they could maybe say something else after that. But just how quickly they go to, are you the only one who doesn't know about this? And if Jesus had said, no, I don't know, that would have been a lie. But him saying, what sort of things? That's not a lie. It's just using some creativity to allow them to say more without disclosing exactly who he is yet. He wants them to recognize him, for them to come to faith. He doesn't want to stuff it down their throats. And that might be a good reminder for us here, how gentle the Lord is with his disciples. This first Easter Sunday, you know, there's reason to be joyful. The Lord's alive. He's risen from the dead. And here they are walking away, downcast. But Jesus comes to them. Before inviting them to turn around or recognize him, he just keeps on going. And stay with us is their desire. Of course it is. He's bringing life to their souls. God's goodness is being shared. So, Jesus goes inside. He takes bread, breaks it, and gives it to them. And so with that, their eyes were open. This Eucharistic moment. Now, right after they go back and tell the others about it, then Jesus appears to them again. It's a little bit unfortunate that this passage ends right here, because it almost leaves it as if Jesus abandoned them, which is not the case at all. He's very near to them, and he comes right back. And it scares them. Yes, he feels the need to say, peace be with you, or do not be afraid, I think it is. So it's just right here, but, you know, so much of Luke chapter 24 is where it kind of comes one after the other. So unless you read the whole chapter at once, the church gives us a little smaller part of it. But he comes right back, right after this. And they have those 50 days, in, well, excuse me, 40 days between resurrection and ascension. And then Pentecost coming shortly after that. So let's walk through this a little bit. Now, if you're a married couple, you might imagine these two disciples as being a married couple. Because it doesn't say who they are, except one's Cleopas, and that's not one of the 12 apostles, so it's two disciples, and we don't know if it's a man and a woman or a man and a man. Doesn't say. Cleopas sounds like a man's name, but I don't know. Maybe it isn't. Well, it does say he here, doesn't it? When he goes to Jerusalem. Yeah, it does. And he replied to them. Let's see. They said to him a reply. Well, I guess it isn't real clear. I think that's a man. Anyway, so if the two are men, then they're not married. But if it's a man and a woman, what if they were? And what if that's Jesus coming to them in their marriage, on the road, on the evening of Easter? So that's kind of cool to imagine, of how the Lord can touch our lives and the way he relates to married couples. That you have the opportunity with the companionship that you experience to continue to invest in that and to bring the Lord Jesus into your family, and for you to be open to the power of the Holy Spirit, who continues to bring life and unity and transformation. So even if it's not a married couple, there's still a lot that this gospel has to offer to your vocation of marriage, to the vocation of marriage. You know, they give the theory of what has happened. They don't really say a theory, but they know there's an empty tomb, and they did not see Jesus, and he says to them, how foolish you are,
How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. So whatever our vocation is, we are not immune to the same mistake, to being foolish, to not really seeing these connections, not really believing. So it's the Lord who calls them to a deeper faith, relates to them in a way they can understand. And just as it takes a minute for them to even recognize him, that's really the case in a lot of examples in the gospel, that they come to believe in the Lord Jesus, and it may not happen all at once. So he gives them the chance to witness to what they know, what they've seen, what they have heard, and much of it is missing the fullness of truth. So that's where Jesus fills in the gaps, bringing his guidance, bringing his love, his graces. And then at the end, they have the chance to then bring the gospel to the others, to go all the way back to Jerusalem. So another 7 miles back. They don't even wait till the morning. So it must have been pretty late at night when they get back to Jerusalem. If it's already evening when they encounter the Lord Jesus and recognize him in the breaking of bread, did they finish the meal? I bet they did, because that doesn't take very long. And Jesus vanishes from their sight. Did they immediately walk away, or they finish the meal then walk away? Either way, it's pretty quick. They get back and they tell what Jesus has done for them, what he said, what he did. And that sets the tone for what the church is all about. And Luke is writing to the early church. He's the one that writes Acts of the Apostles, after all. That the Gospel of Luke ends up being the central piece of what Jesus has taught, what he did, and it helps preview the Acts of the Apostles. It's interconnected here. So with it being the last chapter of Luke, we can see how it leads right in to what the Acts of the Apostles is all about, what that contains. Okay. So they offer what they know about Jesus. He gives them the greatest Bible study ever. And then they get to that village, and Jesus acts like he's going to keep going. What if he had kept going? They would have missed out on that last part. But the desire for him to stay there, I preached on that, and maybe the priest you had preached on the same thing, emphasizing Jesus staying with us, abiding with us, remaining. He is the vine, we are the branches. We bear fruit when we stay close to him. So these disciples, even before knowing it's Jesus, his words were about eternal life. It was transcending their reality of being disappointed, talking about Jesus in the past tense. We were hoping he'd redeem Israel. You can just feel their longing, their torment, their anguish. But Jesus shows up right in the middle of that and surprises them. He brings a good surprise. He brings transformation to their souls. Yes, he did redeem Israel. He is alive. He's risen. He came to redeem the whole world. And he wants to walk with you. So truly present, coming where we are, can we ask for more? Let our eyes always be open to what the Lord does for us. And if our eyes are plenty open and we don't sense his presence, then that's a whole other story. And that's a cross that we may be facing. And if so, then we ask for the graces to do that well, because the Lord does wish to bestow his abundant life and grace upon us, his love, something we're made for. In our own brokenness, we offer that to the Lord, that we might recognize him more fully next time we go to Mass, and that in the other moments of God's blessings, we might grow in faith, and we might be equipped for the mission we've been given, a mission that corresponds to our vocation, a mission that takes into account various setbacks, such as divorce or whatever we've been through, and we look for how we can tell others about Jesus,
about him risen from the dead and the ways that he has touched our life to bring blessings to us. What we have seen, what we have heard, is part of what we let others know about. And as we do so, we get to grow in faith together. And that togetherness is something that is not only spiritually edifying as we meditate upon the Trinity and our connection with God, but it also connects to love of our neighbor and the community of faith, which the Lord blesses us and inspires us to continue to cultivate. I'm Father Peter O'Donnell, a priest in Abilene, Junction City, in Chapman, Kansas. Thank you for listening today. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.